Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, boys and girls, this is it for this week. Not a moment too soon. What a week it's been, huh? What a year it's been. The bonus hour kicking off, fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mack Show here on the TGIF edition. It is the Friday free-for-all. Here's how you join me and talk about whatever you want to on Friday. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line number. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And as always, my email address remains the same, bob@1063word.com. Great to have you along here for the final 54 minutes for this week. And I'm not quite sure where I'm starting here this hour, Money Penny. Am I starting with Bill in Spartanburg? Is that correct? Yep. Money Penny was obviously probably fielding phone calls because the phone lines have been burning up today. Let's go to Spartanburg and welcome Bill in as the leadoff batter here in the bonus hour. Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Bob. I know you have a lot of conversations and you may not remember them all, but I traveled through town and I was catching y'all. I think it was Wednesday for sure. 99% sure it was. And there was some fellow on saying, he was, thinking how much the Floyd family was going to get paid and that would alleviate their pains. Something about, Clint Eastwood saying, you know, it hurts less than a Mercedes or something like that.
Oh yeah. Talking about the difference between rich and poor. Yeah. Actually, that was John Wayne.
Well, I was just wondering, if your wife was under the man's neck like that, how much would it cost for you to feel better?
Obviously, there's no price.
There you go. So some people need to think, you know, the insensitivity of us right now is terrible. I've never seen Americans hate each other so much.
And who's driving that? Who's driving that, Bill?
From the White House down.
From the White House down? Are you kidding?
Yeah, from the White House down, brother.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. This conversation is concluded. Yeah, I don't need leftist talking points in here, Bill. And you want to talk about driving hate. Let's go to Greer next and bring in John here on the Bobby Mack Show. Hi, John, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I just wanted to give a shout out, if I could. I just been so grateful for, having a job to have worked through this time. But it didn't actually happen. I wasn't able to work all the way through the pandemic. And there was a point to where, you know, the question was, well, did I want to go back to that job? Did I want to, you know, look for another job? Who's going to be hiring? How soon?
Right.
So, there's been a lot of questions, but what I've done, normally if I've been laid off in the past, I would look for another job, but the furlough situation's been kind of unique. So at this point, I'm hoping to get hired back to go back to a similar position, the company.
Right.
But in the meantime, I was one of those that wasn't receiving payment. So
You weren't receiving unemployment, I'm assuming, right?
Correct. Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Right. And so, no wonder. I mean, I just, you know, the state essentially put 250,000 people out of work at once. And then, right. you know, they were stunned and surprised to see that they were overwhelmed with unemployment payment requests. Duh.
Right. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out, though, if I could. Totally have no connections. I was trying to figure out what to do, who to talk to, how to get this resolved, because I was one of those that had made a lot of phone calls, was trying to get through, to get answers, to have someone to talk to, nobody.
Sure.
So I finally contacted my state senator, and just happened that he and his assistant were very, very grateful, very helpful. And within 3 days, I got resolution. And so I don't know if you let me, but Tom Corbin and his assistant Chapel were just tremendous.
Nice.
So, you know, there are people who are able to help, and they had even encouraged me that they've been able to help others as well before me, and that they would do their best to get right on it. And I was just very, very grateful, because it just put a little bit of a, you know, some question marks as far as what's
sure.
going to be going on and what I'll be doing in the near future. And so at least in the interim, it gave me a little bit of a cushion to know that the Lord is in charge, and he is going to help resolve some of these answers.
Amen.
And I just wanted to put out a shout and encourage anyone else as well, if they haven't yet and don't have resolution, do contact your legislators, whoever it is, state senators, representatives, this time of year especially.
Right.
They should be so much more willing.
Yeah, they are. What's the word I'm looking for here, John? They are incentivized right now in terms of a constituent service. I've known Tom Corbin for a long time, and he's a good guy. And I know that you're certainly not alone in
sure.
that aspect of trying to find some kind of lifeline that you can reach out to. Because I know that the people, you know, they'd hang on the website, you know, for multiple hours at a time trying to get through to be able
right.
to apply for the unemployment insurance. And they just were so overwhelmed that, you know, it was virtually impossible. So it's good to know that there are elected officials out there who are ready and willing and able to help you through a tough time like that.
And I'm sure at this point it is going to be speeding up a little bit more, I would hope, I would think.
Right.
But just to encourage anyone else out there too, you know, do look for resources that are going to be legit, to do their best to really help, you know, make this a more helpful, smoother transition.
Right.
Everybody's hurting. Everybody's having a hard time right now. But
you bet.
You know, we have to get back to work initially regardless. But in the meantime, you know, if there is a good job that we can hold down, the furlough concept is to help us get back as soon as we can.
Exactly. And it's a somewhat unique situation, I know, for you, John, and a lot of other people as well who've been furloughed, because you haven't really been fired. You're still on their list as an employee. You just don't go to work
right.
for a while. So hopefully
right.
all of this will work out sooner rather than later. Thanks, John. I appreciate the call. 13 after 6 here on the Bob A. Mac Show. Let's go to Spartanburg next and bring in Alex here on the Free For All. Hi, Alex, and welcome to the Bob A. Mac Show.
Hey, Bobby. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I might say something here that may not be very popular. But the reason I'm saying this is just to ask people to reserve judgment, because we don't know all the facts.
Yeah.
Starting with this. Sure, the cop had his knee on the back of the man's neck. But there was a sheriff out in California who said today they use that technique and it's safe. But because of what happened, you know, that with this man, they're going to stop using it. Okay, that's number one.
Yeah.
So at least one department says it's a safe technique. Number two, we don't know why he had the knee on the back of the man's neck. We only saw 8 minutes of that whole arrest. We
mm-hmm.
don't know that he was struggling or fighting or kicking or doing what. We have no idea. There might have been a legitimate reason why he had to pin him down. Now, so I'm only talking about that. Now, does it appear that he had it there too long when the guy was unconscious? Yes, it appears that way.
Sure.
And I will admit to that. But I'm also going to say that the camera doesn't lie, but it misleads. Every time you watch a movie and you see a guy throw a punch, it looks like he gets hit.
Right.
Because that's the angle that you're getting from the camera. So we must reserve judgment. We don't want to judge unrighteously. And then finally, the other thing is, too, we're talking, now people are saying this guy had 18 complaints. Well, he's been on the beat, I don't know how long.
20 years.
People hate cops. 20 years. So that's right. One. So that's, you know, one a year. So my question is this. Is that normal for a beat cop in a neighborhood where he works to have 18 complaints? Because, listen, people hate cops. And for them, they might complain about police officers all the time. And also, we don't know the nature of those complaints either. So just the fact that he has 18 complaints does not mean he was a bad cop. Does it look like he made a mistake? Yeah, it sure does. But let's reserve judgment, because I think that's the correct thing to do. And I'll wait for your answer, Bobby. Oh,
okay, thanks, Alex. I appreciate the call. Number one, I have never heard any police officer other than this sheriff that you referenced in California who has suggested that putting your knee on someone's neck for going on 9 minutes is an acceptable police practice that is taught in academies. That's number one. About what transpired beforehand, yeah. And I'm sure all of that will come out. The really disturbing thing to me, in addition to the officer putting his knee on George Floyd's neck, is the other three officers who frankly appeared more concerned with crowd control around the scene than they did what was transpiring right there in front of them. It seems to me that at some point, one of those officers should have gone over to Mr. Chauvin and said, hey, look, let's get this guy up and get him in the car, all right? As far as complaints about this officer, yeah, sure. If you're on the police force long enough, you are going to get complaints in your file. Are they justified or are they not justified? Those are questions also that I'm sure will be brought up during the course of the trial. And you certainly are correct in this respect, Alex. Under the American system of jurisprudence, you are innocent until you are tried and proven guilty by a jury of your peers. All right? 16 after 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
.622 here on the Bobby Mack Show in on the text line. Bobby, protesters have the northbound lane of Highway 9 in Spartanburg blocked, says Johnny from Boiling Springs. I don't think this is going to be the kind of violent confrontations that we've seen in some other places. At least the video that I saw on local news during the afternoon showed essentially a bunch of college kids from USC Upstate who are out marching and protesting, and that's, you know, First Amendment right, and haven't seen any indication that any of this stuff is going bad. 22 after 6 as we go back to the phones, beginning with Fred, who is in Greenville. Hi, Fred, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it amazing that once again the so-called experts with the jobs report today, you know, I have to hand it to Politico or whoever tweeted out 15 minutes before that, stand by, here comes another 7.5 million unemployed, you know, almost joyfully saying that kind of stuff. And then they turn around and it's a 2.5 million increase in employment. which is fantastic. Unfortunately, there's a sector of our country that's not celebrating that, which, you know, I can't understand why everybody isn't celebrating that. But once again, we have all these experts that are, you know, computer models or whatever they're using, you know, right, coming up with totally, you know, totally out to lunch statistics. And it's, yep, like, when does the news get rid of these people, you know?
It's no. These people are all going to get promoted, Fred, including the guy at the Washington Post that tweeted this morning, you know, grim news on the unemployment front as we're approaching 20 million people unemployed. And then, of course, the actual numbers came out, 13.3% and 2.5 million jobs added. And suddenly that tweet mysteriously vanished. But look, these people who are posing as journalists, they're nothing but the public relations arm of the Democrat Party. They're not journalists. They're propagandists.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no shame there. You would think that they'd come back and say, hey, I got it all wrong. But that's maybe 50 years ago when people would own up to their mistakes. But nowadays, it's like you said, they just move on from there saying, oh, you know, we didn't say anything.
Well, look at how many people in politics and in journalism as well. You know, I've posed the question many times. What do you have to do to disgrace yourself anymore? I mean, Reverend Al is the star of the funeral for George Floyd yesterday, which is in and of itself an insult. Ever since the Tawana Brawley incident of 20 plus years ago, Reverend Al shouldn't be a spokesman for anything. The guy's a liar and a green mailer and still owes the IRS big money.
Oh, I'm sure. Hey, have you heard the Candace Owen recording yet?
I have heard about it. I have not actually had a chance to hear it because it just broke this afternoon, but sounds
it's
like
going to be controversial, but she's spot on, you know, why we celebrate, you know, people that are really shouldn't be celebrated. You know, we should be celebrating the Ben Carsons of the world. Instead,
you bet.
We're having these huge ceremonies.
And the David Dorns of the world, the St. Louis police captain who was out there in front of a shop that a friend of his owns, 20 year or more veteran of the St. Louis PD, started as a patrolman, ended up as a captain in the police department before retiring. He goes down to help his friend try and keep looters out and gets shot to death for his trouble. Where's the nationwide funeral for this man?
There should be the same or better.
It's just pathetic. But, you know, at least now the scales have fallen from a lot of people's eyes. And they recognize the media for what they are, which is exactly how I described them. A bunch of propagandists. They're all true believers in the progressive Marxist agenda. And they're going to twist and smokescreen and lie, outright lie, as they did about what happened in Lafayette Park earlier this week, until they get the result they want. And you know what? They're going to get a result they don't like.
It's amazing, Bob. My dad grew up in the Soviet Union, and there the press was owned by the government, but here the press is owned by a political party.
Yeah, too true.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it truly is incredible. Thanks, Fred. I appreciate the call very much. Wayne is along next. He is in Lawrence. Hi, Wayne, and welcome to the Friday Free-for-All.
Bobby Mack, wonderful to talk to you, sir.
My pleasure.
I'll make it quick. My dad and his 13 brothers and sisters way back when, long time ago, he unloaded boxcars of coal with shovels. Now, most Americans can't even imagine that, and I think that's half of it. Nobody knows a day's hard work anymore. They want to tweet and toot and punch and whatever it is they're doing. There's plenty of work out there for all of these people that are unemployed, but how hard do you want to work?
Right. And sadly, there's another aspect of this as well, and it cuts to the core. I didn't start out being on the radio as a talk show host. When I was a kid, I worked with my uncle laying bricks. I worked at a Kroger store sweeping the parking lot. I was happy to do those jobs because I had a job and I was getting paid for honest work. I didn't feel like that I was being victimized or anything else because I came up poor and had to work. Everybody that I knew was so-called poor. We just didn't know it, you know, but we were. And the thing that they're missing is that satisfaction you get, whatever the job is you're doing. I don't care if you are, as I did, sweeping the parking lot at Kroger. You get satisfaction out of having done a job and being rewarded for it. Am I wrong?
Absolutely not. If you're slinging a pick and you're good with a pick, you're going to get paid for it.
Right.
If you're stomping on the shovel, if you're, which of course we don't unload boxcars like that anymore, but
sure.
He told me that, and I asked my uncle, I said, is he for real? He said, oh, yes. A boxcar a day.
Yep.
Imagine that, Bobby Mac. A
right.
boxcar a day with a shovel.
And since it was coal, by the time he was done and came home at the end of the day, he didn't have much white privilege left to use, did he?
There was no white at the end of the tunnel. And the other thing I wanted to say about that is he would collect his $4 a week.
Yep.
At the end of the week and take it home to his mother and give her all $4, and if sometimes she gave him back something, sometimes she didn't. And I just feel like America and most people have lost what it takes to really be hard.
Yep.
Go to work and sweat and work so hard you can't stand it. Drink 14 gallons of water.
Well, sadly, Wayne, we're all victims now. You know, we're all victims of the system. It's out to get us, and we're all victimized by it. Thank you for the call, Wayne. I've got to run for the news, but I thank you for being here today. 6:31 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Little Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on Friday on WORD. And nobody beats the clock, and unfortunately, we are in the last, 20 minutes or so here of the programs for this week, a momentous week, I think most of you would agree. Back to the phones we go here on the Bobby Mac Show. Let's begin with, Malcolm next up? He is in Duncan. Hi, Malcolm, and welcome to
Hello.
The Friday free-for-all.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, so far so good. Thank you.
Listen, about working and coming up, and I come up on a farm. I grew up where the Greenville-Spartanburg GSP runway comes out on Highway 14. My dad had a farm and a country grocery store. I hoed and picked cotton in those fields, Bobby.
Wow.
And
that's a lot like work.
And we didn't have indoor plumbing. We wouldn't rich, but we wouldn't poor. Did I get paid? Yeah. My dad put clothes on my back, put a roof over my head.
And look at how deprived people are today, Malcolm. Some of them don't even have high speed Wi-Fi.
Yes, I know. I remember when we got our first TV in 1953.
Yeah, I remember ours as well. Yeah,
and we sat around and listened to the radio on Saturday night, the Grand Ole Opry,
right?
Gunsmoke.
Yeah. And great shows. Bobby, great shows on the radio.
And when I turned 18, when I was in high school, my senior year, I worked at Lyman Print and Finishing, worked the second shift, and went to high school, too.
Yep, I hear you. I worked in high school as well. That's where I was sweeping the parking lot at Kroger. By the way, I forgot to mention, one of the ladies who worked there who actually taught me how to run the cash register. You remember those big old brown cash registers that were as big as a safe? And you had a different key for meat and one for produce and general grocery stuff. It was quite a trick to learn how to use one of those old cash registers. She taught me how to check so that I could become a cashier and make more money. Sadly, she is now on death row in Raleigh for poisoning three husbands.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I tell you something I learned in the store, Bobby, from my dad. If a person comes in, they give you a 10 or a 20, don't put it in the drawer, lay it on the cash register, and they say, you give me change for a 10, I give you a 20.
Right.
And you say,
yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't. I got a 10. And never block a man's gas pumps.
There you go.
When we run that country grocery store.
I hear you.
Somebody might pull up and want gas.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Today, people, they don't realize how easy they have it. And we went to a store once a year, buy our clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You got Christmas stuff at Christmas. You didn't get stuff all through the year like they do now. I got one bicycle, Bobby, my whole life when I was growing up.
And I bet you put playing cards in the spokes of the tires.
Yes. those wrappers come with the ball cards that had the bubble gum.
That's right. Yeah. Tops baseball cards. Yeah. Thank you, Malcolm. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the memories. And you know, it's always been this way. People beyond us, you know, generations back, 120, 140 years ago, you wanted water, you dug a well. You wanted something to eat, you went out and shot it. Sarah is next up, and she is in Greer. Hi, Sarah, and welcome to the Bobby Mac Show.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure's mine. Thank you.
Yes. I just wanted to share something. Back in the 80s, I had quite a few experiences with the Lord. I mean, he would show me things and give me words, okay?
Right.
Now, this is, you know, quite a few years ago. Because of the situation that we're in today with the country and, you know, also the world, but specifically for America, he gave me these words. And like I said, this is back in the 80s.
Yeah.
He said, I mean, just as clear and loud as you can be, he said, law and order will amount to nothing, but remember the Lord your God. Now, after he spoke this to me, it's like I was astounded because I couldn't understand. I mean, how can you have a civilization without law and order?
Right.
So through the years, I mean, I just pondered over that. It's like, Lord, what is it you're trying to say? What are you telling me? But it seems like because of what's been transpiring with law, it seems like he was trying to make the point, and many times he just speaks in a few words, and then you have to decipher it. You
right.
have to really meditate on it and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like man's law and order will amount to nothing, but God's law is written in stone. He said, thou shalt not steal, period.
Right.
Now, we're seeing situations where people are stealing and they're given a pass. It's like, oh, well, they're emotionally upset.
Right.
So we'll
they're
just
victims.
Let them go.
Right. Yeah.
And murder, he said, thou shalt not kill, which means thou shalt not murder.
Right.
People are murdering and they're given a pass. Oh, well, this just, you know, they're protesting. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I did want to share that.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I appreciate that. And I suspect that even though many of those things may be gone with the wind, that a reckoning is coming. Make no mistake.
Yes.
Thanks, Sarah. Hope you have a good weekend. And thanks for joining me today. 7:15 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take our last break here. Come right back, and then we'll wrap things up. Closing minutes of the Friday free-for-all are on the way next here on WORD. Market taking a huge bounce back today in the wake of the economic numbers. 2.5 million jobs added. They were saying, of course, we were going to lose 7 million more jobs. And instead of that, we added 2.5 million. Just a few minutes remaining. Let me quickly get back to the phones, beginning with Dan, who is in Spartanburg. Hi, Dan, and welcome to the program.
Happy Friday to you, Bobby.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Before I get to what I called about, I was thinking Rose was talking, and I hope she doesn't give up again on this. Were you here when she called Rush Limbaugh losing his hearing?
Yes. Yeah, I was.
It might have been before your time. Okay. I remember that call. She called and said, there's something different about the way he talks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like 4 or 5 days before he announced that he had lost his, you know, he was losing his hearing and going deaf.
Right.
And I mean, she's hit a few out of the park with some really sharp insight.
Very true.
So if she's listening, I hope she doesn't let people get her down. I mean, if you're going to be opinionated, people are going to disagree with you. That's how
sure.
it works.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason I called, I heard Spartacus had another doofus moment today. He talked about how, you know, how oppressed he felt. And I'm thinking, you got a guy that went to football on a full ride,
right?
Or went to college on a full ride, played football at Stanford, was governor or mayor of one of the most armpit cities in the United States, Newark, New Jersey.
Right.
And he winds up being a senator and got to take part in a lynching because of what they did to Kavanaugh,
yep.
him and Harris and all the other weasels up there.
Right.
And he's run for president. Now, I know a lot of people that would think, that's not a bad run, you know, but to be whining about, gee, I'm so oppressed. It's kind of like Halle Berry talking about how she was picked on in high school, and then they got to look at it, and she was a homecoming queen. You know? So it's like,
yeah,
you get tired of it. I mean, if you lived through all of the crap in the 60s and went out and made your stand and thought you were making a difference and heard somebody named Barack Obama give a speech where he said, you know, Martin Luther King was Moses and we need a Joshua. You know, Martin Luther King got us 90% of the way, and now we need to get the final 10% of the way. You know, this is back before you realized what a snake he was, and he sounded like somebody that actually wanted to unite the country. And that speech is out there. He gave it in a church, obviously.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And, you know, it's all – it all sounded so good.
And then, you know, 8 years after his presidency, it's like, you
yeah.
know,
like none of it, like none of it ever happened. Well, it is sad and it's frustrating, but trust me, things are going to get better. Thank you, Dan. Apologies to Eugene and Pauline and Dennis because I am flat out of time for today. Sorry I couldn't get to your calls, but we'll be right back here Monday right after El Rushbo. Have a great weekend. God bless.
Who was that masked man anyways?
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beats you?
Yep, I wonder who he was.
Beats me.
Who does?
The masked man.
The masked man beats you?
Yep.
I wonder how all this would sound on instant replay.
I don't know. Why don't you try it?
Okay.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.